Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. On this International Women's Day, we'll be joined by three women covering very different subjects. We'll begin with Reem Khalifa, who is the Senior Editor for Diplomatic Affairs at Al Wasat, the only independent newspaper in Bahrain, where demonstrations continue against the ruling family, although the attention of the world's press has shifted to Libya. Then we will look into what seems to be spy versus spy in Pakistan, where an imprisoned American CIA contractor, Raymond Davis, might well have been the target of an attempted kidnapping by Pakistan's intelligence service, the ISI. Christine Fair, a leading specialist on Pakistan, joins us to look into the possibility of spy wars among allies. Then finally, we will discuss the state and status of women and the Republican assault on women's rights with feminist activist Frances Kissling, who is a visiting scholar at the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. And a reminder that this program and previous ones are available at ianmasters.com, where I also do a daily blog. And today's essay is called Women and Children First, Into Poverty. So click on blog at ianmasters.com and let me know what you think. Now let's go to Manama, Bahrain. I'm speaking with Reem Khalifa, who is the senior editor for diplomatic affairs at Al Wasat in Bahrain. And clearly, Reem Khalifa, Bahrain has receded from the headlines largely because of what is going on in Libya. But that doesn't mean that there are not a lot of political activity. Last Friday, 100,000 protesters descended on the streets of Manama, and many of the signs what they were carrying say, revolution, the only solution. So give us an update, if you will.
Well, so far today, we had a number of march coming out from the Pearl Square in the middle of Manama. And they were like marching, heading to the Bahrain Financial Harbor. And the majority of them were women, actually. It was like a sign to show celebration for Women's Day today. There were all kinds of Bahraini women, liberals, conservative, Islamist, all kind. And they were carrying slogans saying, calling for to fall the regime or the resignation of the government. So as we have two groups calling for different demands, and so far there is a group of movements from the opposition announced today that they calling for a republic and the fall for the monarchy constitution, since we never really had one since the Bahraini people voted on the referendum 10 years ago on the National Action Charter, we transformed the Bahrain to a constitutional kingdom. But what happened so far that we see different voices as well coming up and appearing with with a sectarian way. I mean, like since we do have only a state TV, one state TV station and a radio station, which is also owned by the government, that the way how they promote the issue in Bahrain, it is always one-sided, one view, and it's always it looks like more sectarian that presenting the other group in a different way, which upsets majority of Bahraini, even among the Sunnis or even the Shia. The hardliners actually in both sides are taking advantage so far. This is how we are observing. And we see, for example, the seven opposition societies are more focusing on the demands when it comes on the resignation of the government and by having an elected government and a new prime minister, because our prime minister been in power for 40 years. And, what's happening right now, it's and even to have a new constitution, this includes and releasing political prisoners, free press, etc. So the thing is basically with a lot of things happening right now in Bahrain, yes, it is a revolution, it is a movement. Young people in this country are very much inspired with the Tunisian and the Egyptian revolutions. The demands are not new demands. It's always been there for almost 30 years. And probably what happened in Tunisia encouraged these young people to come and to have the initiative to move and to select a point in the capital of Manama, which is actually, it's a roundabout, but it's a main roundabout in Bahrain for all the areas. So they consider it like their square, and they named it a prayer square because even this is the place which represents the symbol of the unity of the Gulf states in the region. And Bahrain is the prayer, as in Bahrain, it's an island in the middle in the Gulf. So basically, what we see right now, it's the mood of the street. It is, driven by those young people. And what they want change and justice and freedom. And when you ask them, they keep saying these three words. And plus, they keep telling you, we want a civil elected government. It doesn't matter how it looks like, but we want something civil. And what we are calling, it's completely peacefully, as long we are carrying our flags and protesting peacefully. And until the government either resign or we change the regime.
And Reem Khalifa, the king, Hamid al-Khalifa, he's met recently with the President Obama's National Security Advisor, Thomas Danilon. And I understand that a lot of the protesters in the street feel that the United States isn't behind their fight for democracy, as they were somewhat belatedly behind the Egyptians and now, of course, are opposed to Gaddafi. In the case of the Egyptian revolution, Mubarak kept bringing up the specter of the Muslim Brotherhood. And, of course, Gaddafi is bringing up the specter of al-Qaeda. I take it in Bahrain, the royal family are trying to drive a wedge between the Sunni minority and the Shia majority. Is that right?
Well, unfortunately, I'll take from the last part. The last part, unfortunately, we do have, a member of the family, let's describe them, the hardliners, who's supporting even the Sunni hardliners, who could be some of them even pro-Al-Qaeda, or they have neighboring, agenda. And this kind, which upsetting some of the neighboring countries in the region, and this kind of thing, we can pretty very much, obviously, we can feel it because even this, what happening right now is after the fall of the military and the security papers. Now they're playing with the sectarian paper, and that's why you can't really open a national dialogue if your TV, the government TV, is spreading hate, sectarian, promoting issues which is making or describing a group of ethnic group in the country with names and with things that's really racist terminology and discrimination. This is not acceptable. Plus, they, since I'm a journalist, I'm an independent journalist, and my newspaper is the only independent newspaper in Bahrain. And because we are trying to be in between and independent, it's very, very much hard. And that's why some group of these people, they made like a table that describing, journalists like me and others with names or agents or whatever, spreading rumors. So this kind, not just our profession in the media, but also doctors, engineers, in each ministry in Bahrain. If you are not with us, then you're against us. Then you will be in this table. This is basically similar to the idea of terrorist tables, it's just something really unbelievable. I have to update you right now. We have an area which is overpopulated with Sunnis in Busaytin and Muharraq. Now we have, they had this early this morning a number of incidents, clashes with the, number of Bahraini Shias who were not really protesting or something. And they were beating up with people saying they are Sunni, but they look like thugs carrying swords and knives. And right now they say, according to our correspondent, that so far there is like a massive number of security forces and riot police around the area. The reason why this area also been very much targeted because we had a very strange incident happen in front of the Bahrain Financial Harbor when a young Bahraini lady, she was driving her car and she passed near the peaceful protest in front of the harbor. And then she stopped her car and she spit on two of the protesters. And then she went back to her car after they start kicking her car, and then she hit two protesters and they were injured with minor injuries. What I'm trying to say, all this happening because there is too much hate becoming in society, while the demands that the people calling for, it's absolutely a human demand according to many opposition figures, and even for any ordinary Bahrainis, or even for the National Coalition initiative, which was announced just a few weeks ago. They're all calling for these demands because this government is full with blood and they abuse a lot of Bahrainis, and there is a lot of human rights records. That's thing. Now, when it comes with the American position, Bahrainis were very much happy to see President Barack Obama standing beside the people by saying they have the right to protest peacefully. It's the same announcement he made for our neighboring countries to Saudi Arabia. I mean, this kind of thing is always, we had a problem with the authorities here, even for the reporters when they go undercover, because, you know, this definition doesn't exist, you know. They will always hit these demos, no matter what. But recently, since the announcement made by President Obama, things became better and people started to increase more their protests in critical locations like, you know, Dar al-Hukuma, where the Prime Minister office, the Parliament, where, you know, the weekly ministry meeting held in the palace, etc. So it's all located in the capital of Manama. Now, lately, what it came by Mr. Jeffrey Feltman, that, you know, they have to start the national dialogue without conditions and should be, you know, they should compromise. I mean, this would never happen with the Bahraini case. We all believe that as a Bahraini and as a journalist, the way how I see things, the dialogue can be happening as long if we see the government is serious about having this dialogue with everybody and compromising, because these demands, first of all, is very old demands. Secondly, the state TV has to stop spreading hate and insulting a majority group of Bahrainis, which we are living with them. I am Sunni and I respect my brother Shia, and I know we are minorities, and there are minorities also from other religion, like Christians, Jews, Baha'is, Hindu, and we always live together in harmony with other religions or sects. Bahraini are very good, you know, example in the region when it comes for tolerance. We never really experience having a violence or to have thugs. The way how we see things happening now, dividing society through sectarian issues or by saying don't go to that area, that's a very, very, very dangerous thing, because having this kind of mentality, that means they're not really serious to have this nice national dialogue. And sure, that's what made Bahrain's protest yesterday at the U.S. Embassy, trying to tell them stop, supporting a dictatorship government.
Well, let me ask you again. I'm speaking with Reem Khalifa, who is the senior editor for diplomatic affairs at Al Wasat, which is the only independent newspaper in Bahrain, and we're talking to her in Manama. And obviously, the United States is concerned about the future of the base for the U.S. Fifth Fleet there in Bahrain. What do you understand, Reem, that the protesters feel about this base? Are the U.S. fears of losing this base justified?
You see, I have to tell you the protests, they don't really fear having the base in Bahrain. Why? Because they even really experience seeing Americans coming to the square, offering help, you know, having tea with them and joining some of the activities that's going on in the square. And, you know, Bahrain's never had a problem having the American base or even having American among them. And that's why you see the opposition, and especially not the liberal ones, but, I mean, let's say all of them, they agreed, including the Shia Islamists, which is represented by Al-Wifaq National Islamic Society, that they made a very clear statement that they want an elected civil government, and they don't want anything to be changed, you know. And they mentioned this with the Americans or with other, you know, friendship with other neighboring countries or from other parts of the world. And they were very clear about this. And when it comes with other groups, the hardliners, both sides hardliners, I can tell maybe the other one who's against to see the base or the American existence in Bahrain. But this is obviously, it comes to, because they have a sort of agenda, as everybody knows what is the sort of agenda in the region towards the American existence in the Gulf. But generally speaking, it's what's happening right now. It needs a big push from everybody to understand what's happening in Bahrain. It could be solved easily if the governor decided to compromise. This will give an end. But if nobody really compromised, then I think it will lead to a worse scenario that we don't hope that to happen, because so far what we hear until now, it looks like they want to lead to a civil war just to stay in power, and this is not acceptable. And this is what even we hear things happening in our region with neighboring countries, and they have to understand that time for change, you know, it's appeared now. It's you know, people are very much fed up with promises and lies. And this is what most protesters, they keep saying to us and keep saying even in addressing their speeches in the square or even in the slogans. And one more thing, they keep telling Bahrainis, Shia, go back to Iran. I mean, if you talk to them, they say, we are fed up with this story because the indigenous of this island is the Arab Shia, and there are Arab tribes. And the people, the Shia from Iranian origins are minorities, by the way. Sure. And the Sunnis are immigrants. So if we will go for that, that means all the Sunni immigrants, they need to get out of this island. It doesn't make any sense, sure, you know, when they sure talk like this.
Well, Reem, I'm afraid we're running out of time, and there's just one last question I need to ask. So if you don't mind, just give me a quick answer here. My understanding, and you alluded to this, that Saudi Arabia is influencing, and their special forces were behind the massacre that happened in Manama recently, and that the king, Hamid of Bahrain, may well want to moderate and do the things that you're expecting, but the Saudis are the ones that are pushing the hard line. Is that true?
Well, it could be. It could be. This is what we are hearing. As I said to you, in the Gulf, you have to know that there are some, you know, hardliners or, let's say, fanatic members of the royalties who wouldn't really like to see any change or any democratic system. You know, the people in the region happy to have the relation with the Americans because it's always been there, especially when it comes to Bahrain. So as long as you have, I mean, you deal with a real democratic system that, you know, which you know, when I asked to with the head of WAG Society, Ibrahim Sharif, the liberal society, he was telling me yesterday, you know, the Americans, they have elected government more than 230 years. Why we can't have, why they stop us to have, you know, the opportunity? They said we have a great opportunity. Why we can't have this opportunity by having a proper government like everybody? We're not asking much. These are human principles, and the principles that the opposition and the protests calling for is something that everybody called for it. But because after the massacre, what happened, and there was like a blood, and plus after the speech, which was delivered by the king himself and by the Minister of Interior, and then people witnessed this massacre, then they were obviously shocked, you know, because passing a condolences and then the other day they witnessed a massacre. That was a big shock for many Bahrainis, you know, who experienced really tough times, and especially with the doctors. And we went through that and we saw how they stopped the ambulance to come to the square to collect the injured people, and how the main state hospital was in a big mess, and the doctors were protesting because the Minister of Health, the previous one, didn't allow the ambulance cars to go to the square. So this kind of thing, yeah, I mean, it could be neighboring countries, they fear change. They fear that mm-hmm. freedom could happen in this region, justice, different style of system. But I have to say, you know, the Gulf region is not really far away from change. How it will happen, I mean, I don't imagine that we could be like the Egyptian or the Tunisian, but obviously maybe the people in this region would really prefer to have something like with a constitutional monarchies as like what we see like in many European countries, like, for example, United Kingdom or Sweden, for example.
Well, sure. Well, Reem Khalifa, we've run out of time here, and I do thank you so much for joining us. I know you stayed up late, and it's been much appreciated by me and I'm sure by our audience. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And again, I've been speaking with Reem Khalifa, who is the senior editor for diplomatic affairs at Al Wasat, the only independent newspaper in Bahrain. And let's now take a brief station break, and I'll be back talking about a spy, a possible reason for the arrest of the American CIA contractor in Pakistan. We'll be right back.